Grace and peace be with you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the context of today's gospel reading, it's not just something that Jesus said out of nowhere. It's not something he just said without buildup. This is the culmination of two very long chapters towards the end of Matthew, where Jesus goes aside with his disciples. And basically, this is the last thing he tells them before all of the events of his last week on earth, Holy Week, before those events take place. And he is essentially letting his disciples in, his closest disciples in, on the secrets of what is to come. And they're really scary, as you may have heard the last couple weeks, with all the parables of judgment on the last day. The 10 virgins, the parable of the workers in the vineyard, the parable of the talents, all of those things, right? But this reading today, this is one final word of encouragement from Jesus to his disciples, to the apostles, the sent ones. Take my word and go out there and tell other people. Go out there, baptize people. Go out there, consecrate the Lord's Supper and give it to people. This is his final words of encouragement, that he, Jesus, will not only be the good shepherd to all the sheep, but he'll also divide out those who want to pretend to be sheep or even think they're sheep, but are spoiling the flock or are endangering the flock. But also, he will stand up for his pastors, for his missionaries. And so, to be clear and honest, though, I must preface the most important message of today's readings, all of them, is that Jesus will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead. And if you only remember that from today, you got it. We don't know when it will happen. And Jesus says that because we don't know when it will happen, we should repent for our carelessness for these things, our carelessness, our complacency, and we should trust in God alone to deliver us because of the mercy of his Son, Jesus Christ, who has died and risen again to save us from our sins. But because Jesus in this text goes for it, I am going to go for it too. So there's a 99.99% chance that you have heard this Matthew text preached exactly in this way. And there's a huge 99.9% chance that you've heard it preached this way your entire life. This, that Jesus will return and judge between the faithful, his sheep, and the non-faithful, the goats, based on whether or not they have served the needy and the poor well enough. I'm not going to ask for a hand raising, but I'm pretty sure all of us, myself included, that has always been the way we have heard this text preached on. What I'm going to preach to you maybe will shock you, maybe will make you angry, but please listen carefully, because I love you. The way that you probably have heard this preached simply is not the way that our fathers before us have preached this text or understood it. They would have never heard this sermon preached until the late 1800s and the 1900s, and specifically in America. My gracious gospel message to you is that no, none of you will be judged and found worthy or unworthy because of how you treated needy or poor people. You are saved by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ because of his death and his resurrection being for you by faith. Please don't hear me and think that I am telling you that Jesus does not care about the poor and needy, or that I don't care about the poor or needy. That's not what I'm saying. But I am simply saying it's not what Jesus is talking about here. He talks about it a lot of other places, but not here. He talks about it in the Gospel of Matthew, yes. He talks about it in other Gospels. He talks about it, and his apostles talk about it in the epistles. But the only command that we would need from Jesus in this regard is what he says in chapter 7. We all know it as his golden rule. Do unto others what you want them to do to you. And in so commanding this, Jesus summarized the law and the prophets. And it's just that simple, right? Treat others the way that you would like to be treated. So yes, we serve the poor, we serve the needy, we serve the rich, we serve the mighty, because we would want the poor, the needy, the rich, the mighty to serve us. So then, Pastor, what is Jesus talking about? Well, let me unpack it. Something that I would like to clarify is that Jesus is not speaking in a parable here. He has been speaking in parables in the text up till now, and it always indicates Jesus began to speak in parables saying. But here, Jesus is simply teaching. He is teaching what the day of judgment or the last day will be like. He says that when he returns in all of his glory, he will have with him all his angels, the army of angels, and he will judge all of the nations and all peoples from all history. And he will judge them in this way. Did they have faith in the saving word of Jesus Christ delivered to them by his messengers, or did they not? He will separate them, but he's not going to separate sheep and goats. He's going to separate like a shepherd, a good shepherd, separates sheep and goats. There will be a line on his right. There will be a line on his left. And like a good shepherd, when he goes in to sell sheep, he does not trick by amping up his amount of sheep with goats that when they have their heads down look like sheep. No, he will be a good shepherd and he will only present his sheep. And so Jesus will on the last day separate those who are his true Christians who believed on him in faith and those who did not. And so we know that there is Jesus on his judgment seat. He's ready to judge. We know he has his angels. He has a line of faithful sheep on his right who believed the preaching of the gospel even unto death. And finally, there is a line of stubborn goats who didn't even know they were goats. However, there's also another group of people that Jesus talks about. And it's the spigot that the entire text revolves around. Jesus talks about the least of these, my brothers. And this is where things get tricky. Because they're not sheep, they're not goats. But when the sheep or the goats have either showed them or rejected them hospitality and compassion and support for the sake of their delivering of Christ Jesus' gospel, it is as if they were showing or rejecting hospitality, compassion, and support for Jesus Christ himself. How mysterious. We have to remember who Jesus is talking to, his disciples. And so who does Jesus call his brothers in the Gospel of Matthew? In chapter 12, Matthew describes watching Jesus stretch out his hand towards his disciples and saying, here is my mother and here are my brothers. And then he says, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. So that narrows things down. And then when he sends out his disciples to preach, to heal, to cast out demons in his name, he gives the promise, whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me, my Father. And whoever rejects you, dear disciples, my brothers, rejects the one who sent me and rejects me, myself. And so, my brothers, if they reject your message, if they reject me by rejecting you, shake the dust off your feet and move on from that town. And so finally, when Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene, one of my favorite stories in the scriptures, remarkable things happen, but Jesus commands her, go and tell my brothers what you've seen. And so Jesus says, my brothers are my disciples, my ones who carry my gospel message to the ends of the earth at my command, who suffer great loss on account of it, who are not accepted where they go, those who are ordained and sent out to preach and teach his words, to baptize, to consecrate. Jesus' brothers are all those who are ordained into the same apostolic ministry of his faithful ones whom he loved, the 11, who walked in their footsteps. But it's also many other people who are sent out to preach and share Christ's gospel, such as missionaries. We even have one in our pews today. Like evangelists, sometimes like you, when you share the gospel. And here's the hard part for us. Even the least of them, even the worst ones. Jesus is saying here that his gospel, his gifts, they come through people, through humans that he's chosen. And this is not me negating or Jesus negating your private reading of your scriptures at home or your praying. Those are amazing things too. But simply know this and trust this, that Jesus will always send prophets and pastors to preach and teach his word, to baptize and forgive your sins, to offer you his body and his blood because he loves you. He will always send those people, even if you despise them or throw them out or reject what they say. He will use these people, and we should be thankful for that. Because Jesus did not just float above the earth as a spirit and tell us stuff. No, he became incarnate. He became a human being because he wants you to have a human being to show him love, to show him support, to show him hospitality. Because you can't do those things to a book. You can't do them to a statue. You can't do them to a robot. But you can love, you can hug, you can support a human being who is weak, who has needs, who has pains, who has passions and ideas, who has a family, and who has feelings and emotions. And so we all get an amazing blessed chance throughout our lives to care for Jesus himself by loving and supporting the men who are our pastors or missionaries or young people that are looking to enter that work at school. And we should see it as a blessing. For Jesus says that Christians are always to remember and care for their Christian pastors, missionaries, and those that are in training, because they're the ones that give us and our brothers and sisters his word and his other gifts. Jesus says this is not optional. He tells us in this text today that if we as Christians treat as faithful pastors or missionaries or church workers of any kind, those who are doing the ministry, if we treat them poorly or if we treat them and supporting them as optional, he will take them away from us. And with them goes the faithful teaching of the word and the proper use of his sacraments. And in the Old Testament and the New Testament, this is what the judgment of God looks like when he takes those things away. Now, this should be shocking to you. You should be like, I can't believe this is happening right now. I understand. If you're hearing this for the first time and you're shocked, don't worry. It was shocking to me too, that this is the way it's always been taught. And it was shocking to the sheep. It was shocking to the goats in today's reading. But you must understand that these are words of consolation for Jesus' disciples who are about to witness the most traumatic events of their lives at the suffering and death of their Savior Jesus. And then when they were sent to the ends of the world to be tortured and killed for him. Jesus is saying, I have your back. Your words are not in vain if they're my words. He's saying, I go with you personally in your ministry. Don't worry. I'm your older brother. I'm here for you. So both the sheep and the goats, yes, they were both shocked. But they were shocked for different reasons, right? If you're shocked because you're angry that this could be about Jesus's pastors or missionaries or church workers who deliver his gospel, don't worry, because Jesus has told us this ahead of time so that you still have time to repent, to trust in his mercy for the forgiveness of your sins. There's still time. He's delayed in his coming, but be warned, he'll come at any moment like a thief in the night. And he'll stand up for his brothers and sisters. But if you're shocked, it could be a good shock, like many of you. It could be a shock for joy, a big surprise, that you just thought you were taking care of and supporting your pastor, his family, a missionary or two, maybe a student studying to be a pastor or a deaconess. You just thought you were supporting them, just like you support your neighbor all the time. But Jesus is saying and revealing, no, actually, you were caring for me. Thank you. Well done, good and faithful servant. If you received your pastor, if you received your missionary, you would have received Jesus if you had heard of him in the first century. Well done, good and faithful servant. This is a shocking reading, as the truth often is. The sheep and the goats would not have been shocked if Jesus meant you need to care for poor and needy people, because Jesus says everyone knows we should do that, even the pagans, he says. And so what is shocking is that Jesus is weighing the fruit of all Christians, seeing into their hearts to see their faith based on how they have treated his pastors, his missionaries, and all church workers who are sent to preach and teach his word to you. And just, I realize this is hard, because it would make you go back and think, right? I did this myself. I thought back to my childhood pastor, all the pastors I met in college and was under and learned from, and what made me angry. Because Jesus is asking us to be patient and love your childhood pastor who maybe was boring. Or maybe to love that pastor who was awkward or had a speech impediment. Or the pastor who asked your dad to quit the Freemasons. Or who told you when you were going to prom, don't sleep over at your boyfriend's house. we're called to love those pastors too, because they incurred great risk to share Jesus's words with you. They wanted to share the truth with you in love, and we don't always like the truth. But they were willing to risk hunger and thirst and isolation and homelessness and prison and even death to love you and to serve you. But Christ the King, he will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And the righteous will answer him, the sheep, "Lord, when did we see this? When did we do this to you?" And Jesus Christ the King will answer, "Truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers or sisters in the ministry, you did it to me." And so, let us pray. Thank you, King Jesus. Thank you so much for your provision, your sovereignty, the way you care for and watch over us and love us. I ask you, King Jesus, to protect us as a church, to have mercy on us when we fail to serve you or do you wrong, when we fail to serve our neighbor as ourselves. Have mercy on us, Lord Jesus, forgive us, but thank you for the promise that you have prepared your kingdom to share with us. In your name, amen.